This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We haven't heard any reports about that, though. I guess that's the only.
We also haven't heard any reports that he doesn't want to be here.
Well, we've heard reports that he's seeking clarity. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're right. We haven't heard reports that he doesn't want to be here, but we've heard reports. We've heard rumblings, right, of certain things.
I'm seeking clarity on my KSFM schedule too. That doesn't mean I want to leave.
Right. Right.
Just I want my picture to be clear. That's all.
So, yeah. I wish. Be honest with you. I know we talked a lot about it or whatever. I wish Domas would say he wants to stay here. He's a guy that maybe he's not a franchise, but you want a Domas Sabonis on your team.
I understand why guys don't say that publicly, though. Like, if you say that in an exit interview, I'm fine with that. I don't feel like any good can come about of it if you say it publicly. But if you tell them, look, I want to play here. I want to know where we're going. Like, I want to play here. I believe in Malik. There are elements of this team I believe in. We're of the belief there are elements of this team he does not believe in. We believe there are elements of this team multiple guys on the roster who play big minutes don't believe in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if DeMar and Domas are a good mix together. I don't know if Zach and Domas are a good mix together. Marshall Harris will tell you DeMar and Zach aren't a good mix together. Also, we need an organizer. We got to go get Fred VanVleet. We need a point guard. The clarity thing really did rub me the wrong way, and I think it's probably manifested itself. I think it's probably grown a little bit more in the mind of Domantas Sabonis, too, because of what I just said. I think there are guys on this team that he does not like playing with, mm-hmm. and maybe that's where he's seeking clarity. Mm. Is he going to be here? Is he going to be here? Because I have a feeling Zach LaVine will. Mm-hmm. I don't know if DeMar DeRozan will be.
Yeah, man. Casey Tucker says, what exactly have the Kings done to have anyone want to be 10 toes down on this future? Literally no one knows at this point. That's a fair take. I think like wanting to be in this situation is a little bigger, a little different than what's going on, right? It's just like, no, I want to see this thing turn around. Like, I want to know, you know, maybe who's being hired and stuff like that. But because it's down right now, I'm not trying to leave. Mm. You know, I want to be part of the turnaround. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's at that point. Domas has been in the league a long time. He may mm-hmm. be over all that type of stuff. And that's fair. That's his prerogative. But that's more so what it would be. Somebody saying, man, it's tough, but – you know, I've enjoyed my time here. You know, I want to be part of turning this thing around. And that's why somebody would stay. But if they're not there in that mindset and at that point, you know, it's completely understandable for those respects.
and people will say, we need to blow this thing up. I think that's where most people are. I don't know how you retool this. I don't know how you patchwork this one. Like with De'Aaron, with the De'Aaron trade, I guess I kind of got it. I don't think the Kings are in any different position with De'Aaron Fox here. I really don't. I don't know how you patchwork this one, though.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I mean, so you go get a point guard. Everything's better?
That's the thing.
Like, you go get a guy. This guy can really distribute the ball. He can run the offense. Like, we're better now.
I think this is beyond just talent on the floor at this point.
I'm sorry. I'm chuckling because this number stood out to me. And this isn't fair. This is just a computer projection. But I did the trade machine thing just to see if financially it will work with Zion and Domantas Sabonis. And it does work. And then, y'all, I don't know. Cause I don't know if Damien's ever even been to the trade machine.
I have not.
But
my mission to never go there.
Just tell him come hang out, but never comes over.
They have the little thing where it's like, oh, you're projected. It's plus four wins, mm-hmm. you know, for you and minus two for you or something like that. So for the Kings, it says you have no effective winning percentage of this team by getting Zion. Like, essentially, you'd be the same. For Domantas Sabonis, and this is just wrong. The Pelicans are minus 17 wins.
Computers, am I right?
Come on, man. To be clear, I just want to be clear. The Pelicans have 21 wins. Is that how this works? They have four wins. Hold on.
No one's going to want to trade the Kings now.
Hold on.
Better hope nobody in the NBA is the trade machine.
I don't know how the trade machine works. Does that mean the Pelicans are a four-win basketball team?
Yeah.
Come on. That's not right. That is just not right.
It's not right, but it's funny.
I've never seen minus 17. I always see like, minus, like the most it feels like minus four. I've never seen minus 17. Come on, man. Don't do that to Domantas Sabonis, man. Look, we frustrated, but don't disrespect him. Don't disrespect him. That's still my guy. Minus 17 is
crazy. But it's funny, though. 4-78. Man. Domas don't deserve that.
He absolutely doesn't.
Domas don't deserve that. He's a good ball player. He had 18-16 last night of the most ineffective points and rebounds you'll ever see.
The thing is, though.
Hey, Domas deserves some credit. He had 18 points in three quarters.
There you go.
Didn't score a single basket in the fourth quarter or take a single shot.
It was a CNI single, Damian.
Oh, don't give him a little big league. Don't give him. Oh, that reminds me. Did you know?
I've been searching for that soundbite for a while, too.
Did you know?
I'm not trying to watch the whole movie for it.
The mom from Little Big League, her son is playing in the major leagues.
Yeah, I saw that.
For the Padres.
I did not.
Crazy. What a coinkity. That's like, everybody knows this one, but Felicia's son was an NFL player. Felicia from Friday.
I did know that.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Domas, he's become miscast to a certain degree. He's a prisoner of his numbers almost, because his numbers and his production say he should be your best player or your second best player on a good team, on a winning team. When he's probably, like, in a perfect situation, Domas is your third best player, I think.
Okay.
But he's paid like a one. Would they lose all these players and all? All right, Domas, you're the guy now.
I'm not.
That's not. I don't think that's necessarily who he is.
I'm not trying to disrespect, honestly, but he'd be like your glue guy, your connector, kind of.
He's an overqualified connector.
Yeah,
like his production and his numbers are better than that of a glue guy.
Like, yeah, like he's not a glue guy, but like he just, he'd be the guy so like, just to make all of this work. Like,
he's just completely miscast then.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, on this team, yes. Like, because we need, fourth quarter, we need you to take X amount of shots. We need you to shoot more.
Yeah, he probably was before as well.
Did the Kings mess up with that contract then?
Potentially.
Pay who you want, but I don't know, my thing is, you're getting paid on average the same as other guys like Devin Booker and all that. Like, those guys are expected to have a little bit more impact and bring wins here. I mean, you get paid what you get paid, and the team gives you what they give you, but that stuff matters, I feel.
KC Tucker says, I think Sabonis can be the second best player on a 55-win team with the right roster. I only point that out because he's X amount of years into his career, and he's never been on a 55-winning team as the second best player.
He makes on average 46.5 per million per year or whatever. Pascal Siakam's right there next to him. Jimmy Butler, Tyrese is right there. Damian Lillard. I'm not gonna say Luka because he's getting a new deal. Trae Young. There's Zach LaVine at 43.
And that, like I said, like he's never been the second best player on a 55-win team. So why would anybody expect that right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or say like that's who
would he have been the second best player on a 52-win team?
I'm gonna just say
yes. Or would that have been? Well, De'Aaron was here at the time. Would that have been De'Aaron and DeMar or De'Aaron and Domas?
I'm a show respect to Domas and say yes, it would have been Domas. But there's an argument he would have been. You could make the argument he would have been the third best player. But okay. I would show respect and say he's the number two.
When you made that projection, you felt like he was going to be the number two mm-hmm. guy, but it was going to be fluid with him and DeMar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Little did we know. Boy, take us back to July.
We got Deuce back in the chat. Which member of the Shield would he be?
Ambrose, for sure.
Which member of the Shield, who would be?
Sabonis?
Sabonis. He'd absolutely be Ambrose.
Maybe Kurt Angle that one time?
Getting nails in his back?
Ambrose was the third person in the Shield, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I guess that's it. It always comes back to wrestling, and that works.
Well,
you'd never say.
Only one of them left. Seth is still there. The problem is, we don't have Seth or Roman.
Yeah, we all.
That's the problem. We don't have Seth or.
Hey, we're the spirit squad here.
We lost Seth to San Antonio, and we never had Roman.
I don't think we were ever the Shield.
We were the Brood.
Oh.
Damn.
Damn.
It gets worse.
Keegan Murray was Gangrel. Domas and De'Aaron were Edge and Christian. Keegan was Gangrel. Damn shame.
Oh man. Like, but I'm not switching up on it. I think Domas is a hell of a basketball player.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art.
Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And it's somebody that you want on your team. But I do think he's miscast right now.
It can be like with Porzingis. This is for the Celtics.
That's a great call. It's a great call.
By the way, me and Katie are going to be hanging out at the Lodi Wine Festival on Saturday. So come through. Me, Katie, Dallas, we're going to be out there drinking wine.
There we go.
Yeah, Lodi Wine Festival. So if you're out there, man, come through, see us. Like the buy-in is pretty dope. Like it gets you like unlimited wine tastings. Like it's going to be pretty dope. Mm. So if you out there in that area, man, pull up on us. We're going to have a great time on Saturday. I think Katie and I will be there at 3:00. We'll have people out there representing us all day, man. But it's going to be a good time at the Lodi Wine Festival this weekend. Saturday, to be exact. We'll come back. Matt George joins us. We're going to bring in Matt. And we're going to shut up. Because I'm really anxious to see what Matt George has to say when dealing with Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, they broke Matt George. Sorry, Matt.
Damn.
Matt George, Locked On Kings, ABC 10. We thought he was going to drop a pipe bomb, cut a promo. No,
I still might.
They broke him.
He still might. Let's see. Oh. See if we can get riled up enough. But I heard your guys' intro to me before I jumped in the stream, so I can't talk about DeMar DeRozan not passing the ball and then go full ISO on this show for the next 45 minutes. So I'm going to put me on a shot clock.
We were fully expecting to bring you in, and it just be one of those days where, hey, Matt, Kings lost to the Wizards last night, and all right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. with the Insiders.
Do what you got to do, Matt. I don't want to shoot it. Go ahead.
Well, look at KC over here acting like a Sacramento King. Look at DeMontis O'Caraway over here. Matt George.
Dame's only going to shoot it if it's perfect.
Matt George. All right, I think that was a light skin joke.
Damian Bavine.
Matt George, D'Lo and KC. Took as many shots as DeMontis Sabonis did in the fourth quarter last night.
Man. Yeah, like not to promote the show, but if you haven't seen Locked On Kings from last night, I mean I kind of almost blew a blood vessel saying what I needed to say there. And I guess we'll see how riled up it gets as the conversation goes on. But it's like the most depressing I told you so, and there's no joy in it. Like, this is just where this team was always headed. This is just who I believe this team has always been. I appreciate moments that they've had. I've appreciated Kenny's line, which I think you said you snatched back last night, right? Like, the tougher than a $2 steak, yeah. Right?
Give me that back.
They've never been. They've tried to fool us time and time again. They tried to fool us with a Cavs win. They tried to fool us with a win in Boston. They tried to fool us with a 7-game win streak, which is mainly just the Doug Christie impact or newness effect than it was this basketball team actually being coherent or relevant. They made a horrendous trade at the trade deadline. They have no direction. They have no identity. They have no star. And they got rid of the only good head coach, good head coach they've had in 20 years. And I put an asterisk next to that because Michael Malone doesn't really count because the organization screwed him over. they got rid of probably the only guy in this organization who actually knows how to freaking get this job done. I know Mike Brown hasn't been perfect. I know he's gone places and he's struggled and he's had failures in his past. But Mike Brown has been around the block a whole hell of a lot more than anybody in this freaking organization. You're damn sure I'm trusting him over ownership. I'm trusting him over Monty. I'm sure as hell trusting him over Wes Wilcox. And I'm trusting him over any of these players in this locker room who are still here, by the way, who wanted him gone because they didn't want to be held accountable. That's the biggest BS in this entire thing. Is accountability has been such a fake-ass buzzword in this organization for the last 5 years. Accountability. We want to be held accountable. We're going to do the right thing. The only guy who actually practiced what he preached got freaking fired for it. Because guys on this roster right now did not like being held accountable. Did not like that they had to practice more than they should because they had to learn how to do a basic freaking closeout. Did not like that they had to put in the work and they had a coach that would not just say, okay, it's fine, and smile and love on the guys. And I love Doug Christie too, but Doug Christie's philosophy is love on the guys. Well, that's great, Doug. That entire locker room loves you and they still quit on you. They still aren't trying. They still don't care. And what's hilarious is the organization made these moves and made these trades going all in on a pathetic attempt at making the playoffs to try and fool us again to make us think that that would have been a successful season. They mortgaged everything for a sorry-ass attempt at the playoffs. They put all of their eggs in that basket, and their own roster doesn't care enough to actually get the job done. Just speaks to the biggest disconnect in this organization. They fired the person that did not need to be fired. It has nothing to do with Doug Christie. It has everything to do with Mike Brown being the guy that actually got results, not just on the court, not just as a coaching staff. Mike Brown took the podium at the start of his freaking 10 job. And he preached soul of an organization, and he preached accountability on all levels, and he made changes. He brought that to the forefront. And I can tell you firsthand from multiple conversations that I've had, he was given full autonomy in that first year. What happened? The Sacramento Kings had their best year that they've had in 20 years. But what happened after that? We got back to too many cooks in the kitchen. We got back to too many people trying to weigh in. The organization didn't make the correct moves, and the guy who was trying to hold everybody accountable got fired for it. So, do I think Mike Brown is blameless? Absolutely not. I've said repeatedly on this show, on the podcast, he's made mistakes. He mishandled Keon Ellis completely. In fact, I had a phone call with Mike Brown after a pregame availability one time. I don't know if I've ever told this story. There's a pregame availability where he spoke to members of the media about playing Keon and who he was playing and who he was not playing. I wasn't there because I was sick. Mike Brown called me with the Kings also on the phone, the Kings PR staff on the phone listening. Mike Brown called me and explained to me why he felt the way that he felt about playing Keon Ellis or not playing Keon Ellis. He explained to me that he feels Keon Ellis gambles too much on the defensive end. It was leading to defensive breakdowns, and he didn't feel that he could give Keon the same leash that he gives the Stars because it sent the wrong message. And what he told me in that phone call, he said, I'm willing to lose my job for this. And he did. I disagreed with him that entire time, even though I respect that man more than any other coach that I've ever interacted with. I disagreed with it the entire freaking time. So he's certainly not blameless, but nobody in this organization is blameless. And I don't understand why this organization took the side of people who have not been there and done that over someone who actually did. And in firing Mike Brown, not only did they set off a powder keg chain reaction that's completely buried this season, because that's the day this season ended. Doug Christie made a fun little push. I give him all the credit in the world for it. I don't mean to take anything away from him. He's been put in an impossible situation, done the best he could. He gets no blame for this at all. The guys who get the blame are the players who quit on Mike Brown in the first place, because I don't know why we just naturally picked their side. The front office, who didn't make the moves Mike Brown was asking for. Now, I know Mike said no to a few things, but again, I'm trusting him and his judgment over what it takes to get done more than anybody else. Like, they chose the wrong side. They set off this powder keg because not only are they without their head coach now, not only did they essentially punt on this season while pretending to pull the wool over eyes and pretend that it was going to be more than that, they lost their star. Like, when the Kings fired Mike Brown, they were 500. 3 months later, they're 500. A one freaking game improvement while you mortgaged your future. You've taken on trash contracts. You have no direction. You have no identity. So congratulations on your one game improvement. You made this bed. You can't blame anybody but yourselves. And it's on all levels. So to me, complete the freaking cycle. You got rid of your coach. You shouldn't have. You got rid of De'Aaron Fox. Maybe the writing was on the wall, but you could have waited till the summer. I don't care if this season would have been a lost cause and Fox would have gotten surgery and sat out. I don't give a damn. The season was spent anyway. Go into the summer where you have more time and more opportunity with your back, except for having your back against the wall. And at the very, very least, give another front office the opportunity to make this move without fear of losing their job, like Monty McNair and this front office worked on. The fact that Luke Laux has jumped ship, the fact that Wes Wilcox has jumped ship, tells you everything that you need to know about the state of this organization. It's in shambles. They have it's complete malpractice how they have completely destroyed everything that was good for them over the last 2 years. They've destroyed it. Now, nobody is blameless in it. We cannot point all of our fingers at just one person. It's not all DeMar DeRozan's fault. The Kings were a bad organization before DeMar DeRozan showed up. It's not Zach LaVine's fault. He was just traded here. It's sure as hell not his fault. But everybody has to wear a portion of the blame, and the guy that took the fall first is the guy that should have taken the fall last. And that's been my whole point in this entire scenario, because they did this to themselves. They threw a grenade into a house filled with gasoline and are sitting there going, oh God, it's burning down now. What are we supposed to do? Y'all did this to yourself. And it's been clear and obvious from the very beginning. And I just don't understand why people, I mean, I'm speaking to myself too here. Like, why am I even still having this reaction? I'm not surprised. Nobody should be surprised by what we saw from the Kings last night against the Washington Wizards. Nobody should be surprised. That's who this team is. It's who they've been. So I don't know, man. Like, I just think this entire season, but really the last 2 years, can be studied as like organizational malpractice around the league. And the most frustrating and infuriating part for someone like myself and like Kings fans who have been through all of this crap before is we thought this was finally not completely done with, but we thought we were at least moving in the right direction, that this organization would maybe learn from past mistakes. But here we are, man. There's no reason to believe that this won't be another massive playoff drought because of how badly the Kings have fumbled the bag. Shot clock violation.
Corey Booker with us here on Dillon and KC. Oh, I thought Casey was going to ask a question.
I thought you was about to.
No, I was just making a Corey Booker joke. That's all.
I mean, it's like I said, it's one of those days where whatever anybody wants to say is fair game.
Not really the time to say, nope, you're wrong.
Right. Everybody takes blame in this. Everybody takes blame in it. The only thing I would say is season was over when Mike Brown was around as well. And maybe you're able to delay the inevitable a little longer, because that's kind of what we're talking about. Or maybe they turn it around, you know, next season. But I thought the season was lost during that time when they had the 5-game losing streak. And your point of picking a guy that have been there and done that, or excuse me, picking guys that haven't won as much as a guy who's been there and done that, I think that's a completely fair point. I mean, we can argue about the way some people look at Mike Brown if we want to, but they're talking about around the league, players that played for him, but it doesn't matter. Those guys, the guys that weren't feeling them, they don't have this great resume themselves.
I actually agree with your assessment of, like, the season might have been over already, right? Like, there's not an ulterior universe that I think it's likely where Mike Brown doesn't get fired and suddenly the season completely turns around. But my whole issue with the entire situation is you took something that maybe it wasn't good, you made it infinitely worse. You didn't just make it a bad season. You've completely handicapped your future. Kyle Madsen said it phenomenally on the Insiders this morning. You accelerated your timeline with the moves that you made to move backwards. Like, that's the part that infuriates me. Maybe this season was lost. Maybe it wasn't going in the right direction. Maybe the Kings were destined to miss the playoffs or be a fringe play-in team from the jump, even with Mike Brown here. But at least you had a head coach that had been there, done that before. You had a head coach that figured something out here and did have the backing of many players in that locker room, not the key ones that are still here, but many players in that locker room and that entire coaching staff, with the exception of maybe one or two, maybe Doug, I don't know. Like, they supported Mike. And actually, I shouldn't even insinuate that, because that suggests that Doug Christie didn't support Mike when Doug was doing his job here. So that's not what I mean by any means. Like, you got rid of your head coach. You traded away your star when you did not have to. And I know we can talk about the shortcomings of De'Aaron Fox to where blue in the face. It doesn't matter. He's a high value player in this league. And you traded him before you had to. Not only that, you traded him for a piece that was virtually untradeable. And what did you do? You traded him for a piece that, dare we bring it up, has been high on Vivek Ranadive's list forever. So we can, I mean, you can talk about the ownership element. You don't have to talk about the ownership element. The reality is, and I think you guys laid this out earlier, like, that's not changing, right? Vivek's not going to be forced to sell the team, and he's not going to sell the team anyway. And the one thing I'll always tell people about this Sacramento Kings ownership group is their intentions are always good. And what Vivek has never failed to do is try and put his money where his mouth is and do what needs to do to buy the team. I will always defend him for that, in addition to helping the team stay here in Sacramento. But Vivek has a track history. And the reason why I was furious the day Mike Brown was fired is because we continued that cycle again. Cycles of firing coaches prematurely. Insert Mike Malone here. Cycles of what still could happen with Doug Christie, of hiring or forcing new front offices to take old head coaches. That could still very well happen here with Doug Christie. It happened with Pete D'Alessandro when he hired Mike Malone first. It happened for Monty McNair when he had to inherit Luke Walton. And while Vivek hasn't gotten everybody he's wanted, Vivek has had known targets that he's loved that have ended up here in Sacramento. The earliest being Nick Stauskas in the draft. Loved Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is here in the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Loved Zach LaVine for years. Zach LaVine is here as part of the De'Aaron Fox trade. So you can point your fingers at everybody. The reality is, the Kings made wrong investment after wrong investment after wrong investment, and had, to me, just the wrong mindset from the jump of make the playoffs at all costs, when you didn't have the means to prepare for what if at all costs isn't enough, or what if you can't afford it, or what if you fail. Because now the Kings are in a position, and he said this before De'Aaron Fox was traded, if you get this trade wrong, this will have ramifications for this organization for four, five plus years. I believe that. And they walked right into that trap. And there's no reason to believe, like, unless, be it Bob Myers or insert general manager here that can come in with a superhero cape and try and turn this thing around, there's no reason to believe that things are going to improve over a short-term timeline. And it's a position they put themselves in. So that's just the only way to look at it, in my opinion.
Let me ask both of you guys this, and there's no way of knowing. We just got a radio show, so we got to talk. Do you think this accelerated everything? Like, let's go to an alternate universe where they don't fire Mike Brown, don't trade De'Aaron Fox at the deadline. Do we think this summer would result in them both making it through the summer? Or, like, maybe Mike Brown does, but now Sabonis and Fox still want out. Mm. Like, do mm-hmm. we think De'Aaron Fox, the sorry ass season that they're going to have mm-hmm. this year, we all think it would have been the same with if they would have kept Mike Brown? He going to sign the extension?
No, but I think you have now more time and more opportunity to move him versus an accelerated timeline with all teams having to bow out because one team has all the leverage.
But what one? Okay, so all right.
I think we ignore the fact that he said himself, I only wanted to go to San Antonio.
That's right.
He said that himself. He's like, yeah. So I'm sure Rich Paul is telling anybody, yeah, he got a year left. He only wants to go to San Antonio.
I think one thing fans do, and maybe media members outside of the Woj's formerly, the Shams, maybe even to a certain degree, you know, the Sams and Slaters and those guys, it's real easy for us to puff our chest out and say, well, I would have told Rich Paul no. No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have. Agents have far more control over this league than most of us are willing to admit or most of us understand. Mm-hmm. They control a lot because they represent the most important commodity in the league, the players. And I don't agree with the idea that keeping De'Aaron Fox till the offseason was the right move. Because, Matt, I'll ask you this. You make that move. Knowing how De'Aaron feels, it's public now. What's the rest of this season look like? Now, obviously, it's already bad.
Because of the move you made.
So you think this season is bad because of the Zach LaVine acquisition?
I think this team was doomed to fail from the Mike Brown firing, as I laid out. But I think the Zach LaVine acquisition never made sense. And not only you didn't just ruin a season, you've now ruined your future because of the move. So
believe you had a future with De'Aaron Fox. I guess that's what the crux of this is. I disagree with you in the sense that I think this season is exactly the same. You're finishing this year. De'Aaron doesn't want to be here. He's mad he didn't get traded at the trade deadline. Maybe he's getting finger surgery or whatever. Maybe he would have gotten it 2 months ago had he remained a member of the Sacramento Kings. And I don't know what your future is with him, because when Mike Brown was traded, you were 5 games under 500, and De'Aaron was the one who cost you the game before.
Sure.
So I don't know how that... If you were 5 games under 500 then with Mike and De'Aaron, and to your original point to start this whole conversation, you're approaching 5 games under now with Doug Christie. My point, our point, when this trade was executed with Zach LaVine to begin with, is it's a wash. We're ending the season in the exact same place we would have been with De'Aaron Fox.
To a certain degree, sorry. And I like these guys. I was just as excited as everybody else. People talk like De'Aaron and Domas are 4-time champions and didn't lose in the first round by losing 3 home games in that first round, or 2 home games, excuse me, in that first round. Like if you would have just kept them, like we were on track, we were doing cool, but they'd had that one moment. After that, they were both there last year. Malik Monk was the one who wasn't there. They couldn't get out of the play-in. This year, they start off 13-18. Like, we're talking like they're the 90s Bulls.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, we can, we could go down that rabbit hole and talk about both of them having broken hands, but I don't think anybody's interested in excuses at this point. It doesn't matter. Like, they didn't get the job done. But my response to what you said, Damian, is this. Like, the season's a wash either way. Great. Now your future is a wash, too. Like, you could have gone to this offseason at the very worst. There's nothing that you don't find a deal that you like for De'Aaron. And then he walks rather than putting yourself in cap hell with a player who not only is being paid $100 million over the next 2 years. And I am interested to see what Zach LaVine looks like, hopefully next season, with a renewed sense of importance or understanding or identity. But I don't know why he would feel any need to get up for what I think this team is going to be next season. I don't think it's going to be any good because of the position that the Kings put themselves in by making this trade in the timeline that they did. Maybe they don't get a good trade package for De'Aaron Fox in the summer. Maybe he has surgery and pouts and we never see him for the rest of the year. The result for this season would have been roughly the same, maybe even worse, which is better in the sense of like having a higher draft pick than you're in than the position that you're in right now. That's my whole point, is not only did you lose the season, you've punted your future. Like, you've screwed yourself up by making this move. So like the Fox element to me is more that than it is this season at this point. And that's what I felt when Mike Brown was fired. I felt like the season was lost and I didn't like the direction where the organization was going. When De'Aaron Fox was traded for Zach LaVine, there was part of me that was interested and intrigued. D'Lo, you know that very well, because Zach LaVine, high profile, fun offensive player. And you best believe when he was shooting 65% from 3-point range over the span of a week and a half, we were enjoying it. It was fun. But at that point, I felt that the Sacramento Kings completely closed their own window and jammed their fingers in it in the process, all for a pathetic, sorry attempt to make the playoffs when it wouldn't have meant anything. And they still can. Like, this team still, if they somehow wake up, I don't expect it to at this point, but if they somehow wake up, they could win two play-in games. They could win two one-off games and make it into the playoffs. But what does it mean? Nothing. Because they'll get swept or maybe lose in five games to Oklahoma City and then go into the same offseason where they should get rid of their front office and they have very little wiggle room going forward. Like, that's my whole point. You could have waited to trade De'Aaron Fox this summer, even if the writing's on the wall and he's gone. You have more time to explore more options. And if he just says, well, I only want to go to San Antonio and that's it, then you can either facilitate that trade and hopefully try to get more or take more time to find something else instead of putting yourself on the clock where you have a week and a half to figure it out and all the leverage is with Rich Paul and De'Aaron Fox. Like, I don't know how it would have
with them anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said, are we just mad because they didn't delay the inevitable? Like, everything that you're talking about was probably going to happen this summer. The season would have been laid out the same way. You would have had to make the same trade. Maybe it wouldn't have been Zach LaVine. Maybe that's
which would have been infinitely better. But that's the point. It was Zach LaVine. And that's the problem. And it's not Zach LaVine's fault, the player, but it's the position that you put yourselves in. That's it. It was Zach LaVine. It's what they did that's wrong. They accelerated their timeline, put themselves in an awful financial situation. They have no wiggle room to get out of it. That's the problem. It doesn't have to be whether or not I thought De'Aaron Fox would lead this team to the playoffs this year or they'd be better under De'Aaron Fox or not. This season is a wash.
Can I ask
now, beyond this season, you're in trouble.
I'm sorry, real quick. That money is that money regardless, right? To even make a trade, you've got to match up. It's the money, right?
I think Matt's argument is Zach LaVine's not tradable. Like, you can't get off of it.
No, that, I could be that's wrong. Fair, but how are you going to get somebody who we don't know this, but to match up with Fox's money at that time, you've got, well, we got a you big take an expiring
contract.
Well,
I think
like that would be the hope, but
I think Matt's point is you're taking a combination of contracts and draft picks to get to that, not to
and you
speak
have more
you,
opportunity
Matt.
To explore, plus you have the context of whether or not you have your first round pick this year. And if you don't, because it went to Atlanta, it now frees up your other future round picks to do more. Like, you were bottlenecked into trading Fox to Atlanta to San Antonio for Zach LaVine or holding on to him. You chose the wrong one. You went down the bottleneck you were forced into, and you willingly went down it when you did not have to. He was not walking this summer.
And
you didn't have to get it done.
I understand that. All I'm saying, and maybe I'm getting caught up on the exactly what's been said, but we talk as if we know that was on the table. We know that deal that they everything you talked about is on the table. They walked away from it and chose to get LaVine.
You're 100% correct in that, because we don't know what the offers would have been. But what we do know is the move that they made was terrible. That's the point. And I would take an unknown possibility of what could have been in the summer where you have more time, more opportunity. And my whole point going into the trade deadline was a new front office to handle this situation. Then what you went with. What we know is that the Kings traded for Zach LaVine. And it has not worked. And it hasn't only hurt this season. It's hurt their future. That's what they've done. They fired their only head coach they've had that's been good in 20 years. And they traded away the only draft pick that's earned a second contract since DeMarcus Cousins in 2010 in Sacramento. They got rid of those two guys to accelerate their timeline and put themselves in a financial position where they have little wiggle room with a group that looks disinterested in playing with each other. Is that a fair assessment of what we saw? They don't look Absolutely. Interested at all playing together, but they've trapped themselves with that. So what I know is bad. What I believe they should have done all along is wait till the summer and give themselves more options so they didn't have to take the only thing that was available to them, which is what they did now, and now they're paying for it.
But
that's been my entire point.
That's the constant known versus the unknown that excites people. Like, people get sure. really excited at the unknown. We talk about the theory of hope around the trade deadline, around the draft, around free agency. It's this hope that we can be better because we have put these fictitious deals together in our head. We've put these fictitious trades into our head. This player has fallen to us in the draft and we're taking them and they're going to wind up being the star, when in reality, like, they clearly, like, we keep talking about, yeah, we could debate whether the move that they made was right or wrong. One thing that I think is lost in this is I don't think it's just a right or wrong move. I think this is the move the Sacramento Kings wanted to make,
which is even worse.
Well, and that's a discussion to be had here in probably a week or two.
Sure.
And that's the unfortunate part about all of this, because Matt, we started the show saying I think, you know, prior to yesterday at 4 o'clock, there was still some salvaging that could be done to a certain degree with several key people around the Sacramento Kings. Doug Christie, I don't think so much Monty McNair, but I definitely think Doug. I don't know how that's the case today. Losing that game to the Wizards and putting yourself in this position in the final six games of the season, I don't know how anyone is back here with this team when this is all said and done, whether it's next Monday or it's next Thursday or whenever it winds up being.
And that's why Domantas Sabonis is pissing me off. Like, I've been captain.
It's nice to hear someone else say that besides us.
No, I've been captain defender Sabonis for 2-3 years.
Hey, we haven't used that soundbite in a while.
There you go. Play it. Matt. Awesome. Set the tone. Sabonis, I think, is a extremely talented player. Blah, blah, blah. Clarification of all nice things before I say mean things about the guy. I don't give a damn that you want clarity this summer. I don't. All of us do. And homie, you're in the position that you're in because you helped facilitate it. You are one of the reasons why Mike Brown is gone. You're one of the reasons why the season went to this point. Your guy is your head coach right now.
Mm.
And you're not shooting for him. I don't think Domantas Sabonis has ever been labeled a number one guy, because I don't think he should be. It doesn't mean he's not worthy of the $40 million. And that's a debate I've had with people here in Sacramento to the end of time. I don't think Domantas Sabonis' contract is a bad contract. I think they had to pay Sabonis that money. I think an all NBA center is worthy of that money. But I make that payment as if I'm writing the check. I make that payment to Domantas Sabonis on the Kings, knowing that I'm paying for not a number one guy. But, man, De'Aaron Fox was killed for months before even being traded. He was killed for saying exactly what Sabonis is saying now. And this pissed a lot of people off last night, and I'll say it loud and proud. De'Aaron Fox was 100% right. Like, De'Aaron Fox was right to question. De'Aaron Fox was right to send Rich Paul in to have a meeting with this front office and figure out what the hell the direction is of this organization. He's right. Because he looks around and he's seen the pattern of this organization that he spent his entire career in, and going, I'm not interested in going back to this. Every single day, De'Aaron Fox is being proven more right. And now Domantas Sabonis, who is completely opposite from Fox in the Mike Brown thing especially, is now asking for the same clarifications, is now asking for the same context. Except here's the difference, Domas. You've already been paid, brother. You already got your contract. De'Aaron Fox didn't have his. So De'Aaron had the leverage. Like, you don't. So here's the thing. Here's the difference with Domantas Sabonis especially. Domas plays through everything, from stitches in his freaking head to an ankle that should have kept him out longer, to stomped in the chest by Draymond Green, whatever it is. Like, he plays through it. He shows up and he fights and he plays hard. That can never be questioned about Domantas Sabonis. So I do not believe he's the kind of person to where if he doesn't get the answer that he wants this summer, that he's going to threaten to not play if he doesn't get traded or anything like that. So I'm not worried about that necessarily. But hearing all these reports now and reading that from Sam and hearing Sam talk about it and this idea, oh, Domantas Sabonis would like clarity on the direction of the Sacramento Kings. Get in freaking line, dude. Because you're part of the reason why they went on this direction that is now unstable. This organization is staring in the face exactly what I've laid out over the last 45 minutes on this radio show, and you were a major reason why they got there. So, like, I love Domas. I will always love Domas the player, no matter what. But when I've read these reports and heard those things, I've just rolled my eyes at it, because the organization chose him. The organization chose Malik. The organization chose the players that didn't like Mike, that weren't for the direction that the Kings were heading in, even though it was the only time this team has had any success winning-wise in the last 16, 17, 18 years. Kings might not make 40 wins this season. They won 48 and 46 under Mike Brown the first 2 years. So, yeah, I know he was five games under 500. The dude got freaking results. It's like 107 and 88 in 2 years. You didn't like him because he was holding you accountable, because he said mean things about you publicly or privately, or he'd yell at you in practice because you were not doing your job, or we practiced too much. Okay. You didn't like it. You voiced your opinion. The organization sided with you. And now the organization's in an even worse spot, and now you want clarification on the direction. Man, miss me with that. I hate that.
One of the
you broke out a lot of different voices today, by the way. These are all new sides of Matt George here.
One of the things that I think is a problem, and it's been a problem for a while, and it seemed like we were getting past it, is we don't have people in that organization that don't point the finger, that don't look in the mirror. Everybody always blaming somebody else. Everybody. It's happened as long as we've been doing this show. It's Vivek's problem. It's the front office problem. It's DeMar's problem. It's Sabonis' problem. It's Mike Brown's fault. It's this person's fault.
Vlade.
It's Vlade's fault. It's everybody else's fault. And outside of Malik Monk is the only one in about 4 years that I've heard say, you know what? It's unacceptable. That's on me. I'm going to be better on a consistent basis. Everybody else getting their little stories out, getting their little back channels. Oh, man, I can't do this because of this person. And this person's meddling. And this person ain't got no control. And this and that. It's always somebody else.
Are you just talking players or everybody? Because Mike Brown took accountability all the time.
Mike Brown behind the scenes was doing some stuff. He was doing some stuff.
Mike Brown behind the scenes was challenging players that needed to be challenged because they weren't holding up their end of the bargain.
But he didn't go, Matt, I'm telling you, he didn't go about things in a cool way. It was undermining. It was not all right. It was not all right. And he played his role in this. I like Mike Brown, but he played his role in it. And it's more than just yelling at people.
Well, clearly it's a case of he said, she said, because I've heard other things as well, but there's only so much that we can share. So then that's unfortunately the reality.
I ain't heard none of this. I'm just sitting here like a dumbass.
No, but that's also the thing, too, is this organization turned into a freaking junior high this year. And that's what's annoying, too, is it became battle lines. And what side of the locker room are you on? And are you with this clique or that clique? Are you on team this or team that? And then drama all of a sudden about the owner's daughter and who she's dating, as if that matters or is relevant to anything happening on the basketball floor. It just became a bunch of junior high bull crap, and it got out of control when Mike Brown was fired. Now, I'm not saying Mike was perfect either, Kenny. I've laid that out completely, but I know Mike challenged this organization with people that weren't getting the job done, and he's gone, and those people still aren't getting the job done. So maybe he was right, because they're playing for a coach that they love right now. And this locker room's together. Oh, they love each other. Man, they enjoy playing together. Vibes are up. Spirits are high. And then they'll go and get their ass kicked by the Wizards. And maybe they're smiling after. Oh, gee, that makes us feel better. Like, the proof is in the pudding. They chose wrong. And I'm not saying that all the guys who are anti-Mike need to be gone. I disagree. Like, Matt, I know that Malik Matt, and Mike, but it's sorry, you're in the show.
I'm really sorry.
Cut me off, please.
No.
Shot clock.
We have to get to the NIT tournament. I know that's what everyone is here for.
That's at 5:45, by the way. It's at 5:45.
It's at 5:45?
Yeah, that was cleared up earlier. It's at 5:45.
Great.
Run it back
again.
Next.
Once again.
5:45.
Sitting here like
title.
A goddamn dumbass. We'll see you tomorrow.
Vamos, UC Irvine.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold press orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.